Joy, unspeakable joy. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Christmas is all about. Joy. Jesus came for us. That is something we must keep on our heart and our mind. Could we go to the Lord in prayer and just thank him for his coming for us? Gracious, loving Father, we thank you so much today. We thank you that you sent the angels to announce the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, his birth did not go unnoticed. Thank you. Your plan was working perfectly. You came to ordinary men, ordinary people. And Lord, our congregation here today and seated here in this auditorium were ordinary people. Some of us may have high-paying jobs and others, Father, we're living a subsistence life. But Lord, you came for each one of us, and we give you praise and thanks. We thank you, Lord, that we can sing the joys of Christmas. Thank you for the songs of Christmas. And Lord, I know that we've gathered here today, each one of us, with different things upon our heart and mind. I pray that we can literally roll them to you and, Lord, release them, not having doubt that, Lord, you're going to answer our prayer, but believing in faith that you have heard our prayers and, Lord, you will answer in your time. Again, your time is perfect. Father, we pray for healing. We pray for marriages that will be reunited. We pray for financial blessing. We pray for health. Lord, we pray that you'll fill the hearts of those who are lonely. Lord, would you give them the joy of the Lord? I pray that you'll give each one of us the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your coming. Thank you for loving me, for loving us. And Father, we thank you that we can sing joy to the world. Truly, it is unspeakable joy. It's hard for us to put words around how we feel about Jesus, how we feel about our salvation. Gracious Lord, thank you. And we pray for the one here today who might not know Jesus, or the two, or the three, or those who have lived what they think is a Christian life. Lord, today I pray that they would listen. I pray each one of us would listen, and your word would speak to our heart. Gracious Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, a very, very familiar passage. And that's what I like about Christmas. There are things that are familiar and loving and joyful and just uplifting. But you know, when we're waiting for things to happen, if you have your bulletins, I just encourage you to take your bulletins out so you can follow along in the sermon section. And it's always good that you write some things down. I remember so much more of things that when I write things down. Cindy's actually sent me to the store, and I've come home with a whole bunch of things that weren't on the list and forgotten the list, what was on the list. So it's just encouraging that for you that you write things down so that you will remember the importance of the arrival of Jesus Christ. Well, waiting. There are times when waiting seems to be like the hardest thing to do, especially when you're a child and you're waiting to celebrate a birthday, or your parents, and you're waiting to celebrate the birth of your first child, or your second, or your third. There's always that anticipation. And when you're a child, when you're waiting to celebrate Christmas, the days just seem to drag by. And when Christmas Eve arrives, the waiting is almost unbearable. Whether you're as young as a child or you're an octogenarian, it's always difficult to wait, especially when we know that something good is going to happen. Whether it's your wedding day or you get your first license, that picture, you're able to drive, waiting, the anticipation, it can seem like the day is never going to be arrived. That's what makes Christmas so exciting. When our children were little, what we did is each year we would make a very special Christmas calendar for our family from December 1st to January 1st. Each day had something that we would be doing, even if we were staying home, and it would be Thursday night was our family night. That was listed. And then on that Thursday night, as we rotated through the calendar, each child could pick something that we were going to eat. I had some strange meals. And what we were going to do for an activity, we gave some parameters on that as well. So each day had four little lifesavers hanging on a string. We rotated through the children. We let them take the lifesavers off the calendar. After we would look at the calendar, we would discuss the events of the day or the events of the night. And we crossed every day off, especially at evening. And that always allowed the children to look forward to what was coming the next day. Each day was building more and more anticipation, more excitement. It really is hard to wait, especially when we know something good is coming. I think that's what makes Christmas so, so very special. You know, gifts are important. They are. It's part of what we do. But we need to think about the greatest gift that God has ever given. And that's our first point. This is the greatest gift that God has ever given us is Jesus Christ. Christmas is soon going to be here. And as we look into our text this morning, we're going to see that Jesus is about to arrive very, very soon. So if you look at, actually we don't have to, on the screen you're going to see Genesis 3:15. When sin entered into the world, peace left it. Peace left it. We're like foolish sheep going our own way in conflict with God, and we're forced to deal with each other and issues around us in a fallen world. In Genesis 3:15, God said that Jesus is going to crush the head of Satan. Here we have a reference to Jesus' death and his resurrection. The promised Messiah, now you have to think about this, the promised Messiah was actually mentioned immediately after the first sin. And we've been living, and man's been living in conflict with God ever since the beginning of time. And we each choose to live according to our own decisions, following Jesus, following God, or disobeying God and rebelling. Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. When sin entered into the world, peace left it. God had promised a Messiah, a Redeemer, would come and set things right. Centuries passed. Prophets prophesied. Even they questioned. Jeremiah questioned, Lord, when? I'm paraphrasing. When are you going to send your Messiah, your Redeemer? They became discouraged. The people were tired of waiting. So the question here, why did God wait so long? Through the centuries, God continued to promise a Messiah. Waiting, anticipation is a good thing, but it's difficult. Galatians 4:4 is the answer. When the time was right, God sent his son to redeem mankind. Think about this. Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Now we have to look at the conditions here of the birth of Jesus Christ. Hindsight gives us 20/20 vision. Okay, here we have the conditions for the birth of Jesus Christ. They were perfect. They were perfect. The Greeks had given the world a universal language. Okay, this enabled the message of Jesus and salvation to spread quickly. It could go around the world, the known world at that time. The Pax Romana, that is called the Peace of Rome, that enabled safe travel to other countries. Excellent roads were built. The blacktop, the Macadam Road, was invented by the Romans. And this allowed people to travel safely and quickly. Shipping to protected and sheltered harbors allowed the gospel again to be spread quickly. I don't know if you know this, but did you know there are six songs of Christmas? Let me listen to you. That we have Zachariah's song, we have Mary's song, Elizabeth's song, Mary's song, the angel's song, the shepherd's song, and Simeon and Anna's song. And today we're going to look at the angel song. So we look into the songs of Christmas. I want to remind you that we're exploring the events of the first Christmas. You see, things become routine for us. But this is the first Christmas. Mary's song, you have to remember now that it had been, at this point in time, as we look into Luke chapter 2, it's now 6 months since the day Mary returned home to Nazareth from her cousin Elizabeth's house. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. I want you to pay special attention to this verse because we're going to look at this in just a minute. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Let's just go to verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Jews had received the request from Caesar, the decree to register. It's a worldwide census. Rome needed money. It was a tax. But what they did with the Jews to make this a nationalistic type of thing, each person, each family was to return to their own town, their own community, their own tribe to register. So that gave it a nationalistic flavor. But I want you to notice that, take a look at verse 6 again. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. From my Sunday school days, all through my lifetime, the innkeeper has been the villain. I want you to think about this. It's an 80-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, most of us have thought of Mary riding into that town close to or being in labor. I want to talk to the women here. Would you ride on a donkey while you were in labor? Okay, I think I've got the answer. I think it would be difficult and painful, and the husband would never be forgiven. Notice the words. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. There's no room for them in the inn. Was he an exceptionally cruel man who refused privacy for the birth of a child? I'm going to give you my thoughts on this. I've thought about this. I even presented this to my wife, and at first she went, "What?" But I want you to think this through with me. Joseph was an honorable man. We know this from Matthew chapter 1. And we know that when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, he decided that he was going to divorce her. He was going to do that quietly. Here's an honorable man, because you see, the laws of Israel required that this woman be stoned. So he was going to divorce her quietly without disgracing her. And an angel of the Lord, we know the story because it's familiar to us, came to him in a dream and told him that the child was from God. And Joseph, he married Mary, but they didn't have sexual relations until after Jesus was born. This tells us he was an honorable man. He was an exceptional man. They were in love. I want you to remember that. They were in love. They were newlyweds. And Joseph had a trade that would allow him to travel anywhere. He was a carpenter. A carpenter also was a stone cutter. This is what I think. I think Joseph had brought Mary to Bethlehem weeks, maybe even months, before Mary gave birth. And that, I think that was protecting Mary from the wagging tongues of gossip. Because we all know that. We do that. And we know that Jesus was born in a shepherd's cave, and some even Some are even used for that purpose in Israel today. I know that because I've actually seen that. I think the innkeeper, and this is my thoughts on this, helped Joseph locate a shepherd's cave because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. Now, we think of an inn like Comfort Inn or Ramada. We think of that. Well, let me tell you what an inn was like in those days. Yes, you did get a room, okay, if you got there early. But when caravans arrived, and you see caravans were coming for the census, you might have a wall to keep the wind away from you. You would have a place to hitch up your donkey or your mule or whatever you were riding or pulling. And there was a place to build a fire, but there was no roof over your head. It was a courtyard. You had straw for your bed. Caravans got the overflow. Well, they could have been there early. There still was a lot of people coming. This took months to complete. It didn't take place in a week. So here we have that Jesus arrived to us, in an extremely humble way. He's born in a cave or a stable. He truly humbled himself for us. Let me give you a scripture here. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Literally, Jesus made himself nothing for us. Now, our second point is, you'll find it in verses 8 through 12, and there are three things that I'm going to point out this morning. Jesus is our peace offering. This is what the angels were singing about. God's plan is announced by the angels to the shepherds. Now, Orthodox Jews, and there were plenty of them, we know them as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they despised the shepherds. They were out in the field 7 days a week, unable to keep the thorough hand washing, fasting rules and regulations of their faith. They were very common people, and they were outcasts. Usually, they were forbidden to give testimony in a court trial. They were considered the lowest people, ordinary. I know what that's like. I remember meeting Cindy's Aunt Esther. She was in her 90s when I met her. She lived to be 100. And she worked for the YWCA, an executive, and she told you that. And she knew her place, and it was always above you. And when Cindy introduced me, she took me down to meet her. She's introducing me to Aunt Esther, and she says, "This is my fiance." Now, Aunt Esther's legally blind. So she walked over and put her backed me against the wall, put her nose against mine, and she went, "Oh, really?" And then, okay, Cindy, okay, this is 1973. She had saved $2,000 to allow Cindy to travel after she graduated from college. So we had a 6-mile trip to the farm. It might have been 7, I don't know. She proceeded to tell Cindy all the reasons why she shouldn't marry me because I was definitely below her. So I understand what it's like to come up against someone who thinks they're better than you. So that's what was happening here. But I want you to think about it this way. Let's put it in terms that we understand. These shepherds, they were the lost sheep that Jesus came to seek and to save. Now, most likely, these shepherds were tending temple sheep. That meant they were special shepherds, even though they were lowly and ordinary. Each morning and evening, a perfect lamb was sacrificed at the temple. And I want to look at the angel's song here, verses 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So it tells us that they were nearby. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ, the Lord. He's the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, We'll stop right there. First, in verse 8, in these verses right here, first we have the announcement of the birth. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. The glory of the Lord shone around them. The reading that the elders did here said that this is a reference to the Shekinah glory. It's a Jesus, God throughout the scriptures, always appears to man as light. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think the star that guided the Magi to Jesus was the glory of the Lord. It took me a lot of years to figure this out. I said it could have been a special star that appeared. I think this was the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. I don't think it was a comet. I don't think it was Jupiter. I don't think it was Saturn or whatever. I don't. I think it was the Shekinah glory of God. Now, the second thing I want you to see is in verse 13. We have an angel choir. So we have the announcement. Now we have an angel choir. Suddenly, a great company of angels, of heavenly hosts, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Luke is saying that all the angels of heaven were praising God. I don't know if you know this, and this was a new discovery for me. Did you know that it was customary in that day that when a child was born, that neighbors and musicians would come, and they would come into the house, and they would sing to the newborn and to the parents? Jesus was born in a borrowed stable. He was greeted with a choir of angels, and the angels said this, in the Shekinah glory of God, and the angels said in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rest." The greatest joy in the world, the greatest joy in the world is that Jesus was given to men, given to you and me, ordinary men, ordinary women, by God the Father. You see, that's what makes Christmas so special. The good news wasn't just for the shepherds, it was for everyone. It was for all people. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy, over 300 prophecies. Because he was born in the city of David, making Jesus a Davidic king. The scripture, the prophets, they had all prophesied this. And the truth of the angel's announcement is that Jesus' birth would be authenticated with a sign. You're going to find this baby wrapped in strips of cloth. Jesus is the hope and the peace of the world. And we need to focus on that. The third thing I want you to see, again, is in verse 14. Jesus Christ is our peace offering. Today, we sue one another for the slightest offense. Political correctness has taken the place of truth. I have to tell you, I despise political correctness. People insist that they have their own truth. It's absolutely crazy. Making themselves right and everyone else wrong. Children are kidnapped and they're sex trafficked. The murder rate is rising around the world. Unrest in our own country and hatred is rising. The 17 war in Afghanistan continues. The Democrats and the Republicans hate one another, and there is no getting along. There's no compromise. And there's no peace in our nation. There's no peace in the world. Moments ago, I said that Jesus is our peace. He is our peace offering. Are the angels wrong? No, they're not. On earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. The angels said peace had come. Remember Genesis 3:15? Peace left. Peace has now come. There can be peace on earth. How? A peace offering is a gift. It's a gift or a service for the purpose of obtaining peace and reconciliation. The Jewish people understood this. They understood this concept because they were required to bring sacrifices to the temple to atone for their sin. They understood this. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says this, "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." Jesus is our peace offering. Our third point here this morning is sharing the peace of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, take a look at it. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph. I think they asked for directions. And the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, I'm going to stop right there. After the shepherds had regained their composure, listen, I've been scared to death a couple of times. It was late at night. I got off the elevator, and there was a young girl standing right in front of me. I had my head down. I took out a step, and good gracious, I could have screamed. I would have sounded like a little girl. But anyhow, I gained my composure. And I did tell them that they scared me. Can you imagine the angels doing their routine? Joseph is over here. He's sleeping. Fred, he's got watch. And all of a sudden, we see that this great thing occurs. After they regained their composure, they went to Bethlehem. Let me share this with you. There are people all around us that do not know that this war between God and Satan is over. True story for you as we wrap this up. I don't know if I have my year correct on this, but a Japanese soldier that had been hiding in the hills on an island for over 25 years, it might have been 27 years, was thinking the war was still going on. He was finally caught stealing food. They convinced him the war was over, and he was repatriated to his country. The people that you and I know, the people that you know, need to know that Jesus has come to give them hope and peace. And Jesus has come to offer us peace. He was born to die. We have to think about this. We have to put our thoughts toward Easter now. Jesus was born to die, and when he died on that cruel cross, Jesus took the full wrath of God on himself. Jesus took our sin. He bore our sin. He carried our sin. He took our sin on himself, and he became our punishment, Isaiah 53:6. But through that sacrifice, he offered us peace and forgiveness and eternal life. The angels of right peace can come to us because Jesus is our peace offering. You and I were ambassadors for Jesus Christ. If there's going to be peace on earth, all men, all women, all boys and girls need to hear this wonderful news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are people that need to hear this good news, people that you know. Now, this is not a guilt issue, because I want to approach this in a different way. I do want to say this, because if they do not hear, those people that you know, and they do not know Jesus, oh, please think about this. If they do not know Jesus, they're going to hell. And you've heard so much about your responsibility as a Christian, about sharing and spreading the good news, that I don't want to lay guilt on you, but this is what I want to ask you to do. And I'm going to come back and ask you about this in several weeks. I want you to ask this. As I said, I'm going to approach this in a different way. I'd like for you to take a prayer walk or a prayer drive around your community. If you live in an apartment, go up and down the halls. You can pray for the individuals. But what I want you to do is this. Pray that God would break your heart for the lost around you. Pray that God would break your heart. Pray that God would give you the courage to share the good news. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, your sin debt has been paid. Jesus is your peace offering. And I want to ask you, do you remember the day that you were saved? You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I do. I know it was April 1958. That really dates me, doesn't it? But you know what? I've learned to sing through the years. It's that song that Philip Bliss wrote. It is well with my soul. because I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. In fact, in our will, I've asked that a portion of our will be read when I pass away. And I've asked that my children have a party because they know where I'm going to be. Each one of them know Jesus Christ. All of our grandchildren know Jesus. They will see me someday. We will have a reunion that is unspeakable. We talk about unspeakable joy. Do you remember the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can sing, "It is well with my soul." But what about those around you? They cannot say, "It's well with my soul." How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone to tell them, please take a personal prayer walk or a prayer drive around your community? Make sure you're driving more than 10 miles an hour. You may have to, because you don't want to cause an accident, but come back around if you've missed houses. Ask God, this is the most important thing, ask God that he would break your heart for the lost. Now look at verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured these things and she pondered them in her heart. I do this as a father. There are times when I have this quiet time and I'm sitting in my chair. I think back on the times of my children were young, those special times, and they just fill my heart. And we need to follow the example here of the shepherds. Now, this is the part that gets a little dicey because this is where you have to make a commitment. But again, that's between you and God. So this is not about guilt. We need to follow the example of the shepherds and spread the news that Jesus has come. He's come to call the lost to repentance. That's what Christmas is all about. Gracious Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for your incredible love. Thank you for this announcement. And Lord, I've shared my heart, the things that I think are special about this passage. And I thank you, Lord, that you sent your glory. And the angels were singing the great, great announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, thank you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's very simple. You simply ask him to come into your heart. You can do this right now as I'm speaking. You can ask him, Lord, I don't know you. I've heard all about you. And I've lived a life that I thought was a Christian life. But I need to know you. I need to know you in a personal way. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that today, don't put it off. Today is the day of your salvation. For those of you that have been saved and saved for a long time, you know you've accepted Jesus, ask God to fill your heart with new joy. Ask God to fill your heart with incredible energy and drive to share and talk about Jesus Christ as your Savior. Lord, I pray that this challenge that I've thrown out here this morning that I've spoke of, that we would take seriously, we would do a prayer walk or prayer drive around our community, in our apartment buildings, and asking God to break our heart for the lost. Speak to us, Lord, through your Spirit now. Challenge us, and Father, I pray that we will do just what the shepherds did. We'll be so overcome and overfilled with joy that we will want to speak of Jesus. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for sending Jesus as our personal Savior. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, please speak to me on your way out. We had three elders up here reading the Advent reading. Speak to one of them. Don't make the mistake of putting this off. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time,